racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome back to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. I'm Bob Bubka. Very proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr. You know him much better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, let's begin. I know a little snow on the ground in St. Louis has to be mighty quiet at the moment at Normandy.
Yes, it is. This is the tough time, and we got anywhere from 9 to 12 inches last Friday through Sunday, and it's not going to melt for a while. We're supposed to have some winter weather this weekend, but it's what it's supposed to be. It's January in St. Louis. But that doesn't mean my boss isn't fighting me and calling me and telling me to find revenue somehow in the offseason.
Well, I don't know why you don't open a casino at Normandy when there's snow on the ground. You deal some blackjack, some poker. I may even come pay a visit.
It's funny you mention it. Once a month, we do have kind of a nice little get-together and have about 20 to 32 people for a poker night. So at least we shell out some Budweisers and some hot dogs at that time. So we're trying to do whatever we can.
Yeah, well, it'll be spring before we know it. We'll be heading down Magnolia Lane for the first major of 2019. Obviously, going to be a lot of noise this year on the Masters. Predicated, I would guess, Jay, on how Tiger performs between now and come April, the excitement level skyrocketed with his performance in Atlanta at the Tour Championship. But I think in order to have a realistic chance at winning at Augusta, he's going to have to put some good form up on the board.
I would agree. I mean, we haven't seen anything since that dramatic finish at the Tour Championship presented by Coca-Cola. And I think we're all wondering, we're all waiting. We know he's going to play next week. And I think we're going to be in a similar situation, Bob, that we were in last year, where we had so much excitement leading in with so many different names and players, and we could go through them, but it would take forever. We're just at a unique time in our game. And it's interesting, a little later in the show, we're going to look at this week's Desert Classic, where, you know, it used to be a little tougher to get a good field. As we've talked about now, Bob, whether it's the wraparound season, whether it's the dead of the summer at the John Deere, it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, these guys are playing, and they know how important it is to play and get off to a good start and get in a good position in the FedEx rankings.
Yeah, and let me run something up your flagpole, Jay, because one thought that I've had, we have so many talented players right now, and they seem to be coming at a rapid rate. Years ago, I don't remember the likes of a Cameron Champ or Bryson DeChambeau, a Xander Schauffele arriving on the scene, augmenting the big names that we already have.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing we're at. We know we've got the Justin Thomases, the Dustin Johnsons, the Jordan Spieths, the Rory McIlroys. Maybe that elite. Now it almost seems like 8 to 10 guys that we look at as tour stars and major champions and that type of thing. But the wealth of players and the depth and breadth of players, is just so deep now. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the winner of the web.com tour, Norman Zhang, who missed the cut. For a lot of people, they may not know, the web.com tour played in the Bahamas over the weekend into Monday, or maybe even into Tuesday. But, there's a guy that nobody, unless you're a golf geek, knows about. Now, granted, he missed the cut in his first web.com start, but, there's somebody out there. There's somebody played in the Bahamas this past couple of days that's going to be a star on tour. It's just... It's amazing. the number of players, and it shows you how difficult it is to stay at an elite level. And it should probably remind us, you and I especially, since we saw it in front of our own eyes, the dominance of Tiger Woods for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. And watching that Web.com tour event down in the Bahamas, I got a little chuckle when I got to see Boo Weekly competing,
yeah,
trying to get back to the PGA Tour, and it gave me a visual of many, many years ago being at Wailea for the Sony Open, and it was going to be the first PGA Tour event back for Boo Weekly. He had a brief cup of coffee on tour and then lost his card, got it back through, you know, qualifying, and he's making his first start. He's on the range, and I come across him, and he's wearing his, Hawaiian Prince golf shirt. And I said to Boo, I said, "Boo, let me just ask you a question." I said, "Apparently the perks are a little bit better on the major tour here than the minor leagues that you were playing with." I said that, you know, staying at the Hawaiian Prince, that's pretty nifty right there on Waikiki Beach. He says to me, "Mr. Bob, best damn motel I ever been in." So, I mean,
you know, there are certain guys. I saw that name too, Bob, when I looked at the scores from the Bahamas, and I'm like, wow, Boo Weekly. I also saw Frank Licklider. He was almost last. It's tough. You know, we talk so much about the stars and the guys playing on the tour, and we forget how many guys are out there still fighting, struggling, trying to get back, trying to get there. As I tell everybody that walks out of the pro shop, play well. It's a hard game. I don't play chess. So far, this is the hardest thing I've found.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned the name Frank Licklider. I kind of had an indication that his ride was not going to be a long one. I thought he was going to have trouble with his back because the first time I met Frank, we were in LAX, and this porter comes in with this baggage cart and had about six gigantic bags on it. And Frank said, "Right here, those are mine." I said, "Damn, Frank, what are you doing, moving over there?" "Oh, no, I'm carrying mine. That luggage is my wife's. She wouldn't go with anything less than that for a week." So, I mean, poor guy probably threw his back out lifting that luggage. All right, let's get to Wailea Country Club. Certainly now, Jay, kind of proves that it wasn't a fluke for Matt Kuchar to win in the fall. He doubles it up with a very impressive win at Wailea Country Club.
Yeah, I consider him kind of like the Jay Haas of this era. And that's not a bad thing, except Jay ended his career with a lot of dough and plenty of trophies, but no major championships. And, Kuch has come close. And, of course, he burst on the scene as an amateur, as we've talked about at the Masters and the U.S. Open. But this is, you're right, Bob, that victory that he got in the wraparound portion, was it, you know, I think some of us kind of thought, oh, great, Kuch got one more victory, boom. Not Kuch. He went ahead and, you know, this was an interesting final round because it looked like it was all his. He'd been on point for 3 days, and then it got interesting on Sunday, and he had to turn it around, and he just kept believing in himself, and now you wonder what this is going to mean the rest of 2019 for Matt Kuchar. Is this, you know, we talked about that win in the wraparound classic maybe being the final victory, then he gets this. Does he have one more great week to potentially get a major somewhere at one of these four great venues?
Well, we'll talk about that right after we listen to what Matt Kuchar had to say following that victory at Wailea.
Not at all the start I was looking for, but I knew I was playing good golf. Knew if I stayed the course, continued just plotting along and not letting that get the best of me, that some good stuff was going to happen. I started playing really good golf, didn't see any putts fall till the ninth, and I think that was just a crucial turning point for me, making that putt on nine, stay within one of Andrew, and then played some great golf from then. I'm tickled, thrilled to have won two events this early in the year, to have won two out of three starts on the PGA Tour is mind-boggling to me. It absolutely sets up the year to be in a great position for the FedEx Cup, to do a lot of things. There's a lot of year left and a lot of great things that are out there to be done.
Yeah, and of course, he wouldn't specify a major, but I know that, that is his number one desire. And quite frankly, a former United States amateur champion, a real pedigree, probably the player that confuses the golfing gods more than any other single player on tour. And I say that because, when the golfing gods deliver a bad bounce or a bad break, they normally encounter somebody with a frown on their face. Well, Matt Kuchar has nothing but smiles on his face no matter what's happening. So there's no way of figuring out his emotions. He's a good guy. And, hey, I think he's a name that, Jay, in the grill room, we would be remiss if we did not, at least mention him as a possibility for winning a major. Right now, he's second in the FedEx Cup standing, so he's off to a good start. Schauffele currently in first, but Kuchar to win a major, not a big stretch.
No, and it'd be the icing on the cake. I'm looking right. You talk about him smiling. I'd be smiling too if I'd earned $46 million playing golf. I'm looking at the money list right now, the all-time PGA Tour money list. And he ranks 10th. Every golfer ahead of him, Bob, has won a major championship. As I go behind him, 13th on the list is Stricker. But everybody in the top 20, all-time money list on the PGA Tour, has won a major except Charles Howell III, Steve Stricker, and Matt Kuchar. No, it wouldn't be a stretch. I mean, it would be a little bit surprising that it would come at the tail end. But as you well remember, 1998, when all of a sudden Mark O'Meara, propelled by his buddy Tiger Woods, getting re-energized, won the Masters, and then a couple months later hoisted the claret jug.
No, good point there. And Matt Kuchar, certainly at the talent level of Mark O'Meara. We wish Matt well, Jake. Believe me, there's just no better guy out there. He's good with the fans. He's a great family man. Very talented in playing tennis. His wife's a pretty good player also. Let's talk about some of the others. A guy that came in second, Andrew Putnam. Funny story. We were in the media dining at Kapalua, and there was a gentleman sitting there that I really didn't recognize, and walked over, introduced myself, and he said, "Oh yeah, I listen to you and Jay on the grill room." And I said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I'm a manager." And I said, "For who?" He says, "Andrew Putnam." And I really hadn't heard that name mentioned previously. And then he goes the following week and finishes second. Pretty impressive stuff. And hey, we got to give a shout out to Davis Love III coming in seventh. That was a good performance.
No question. I mean, and Davis played good all 4 days. In fact, Davis right behind Kuchar on that all-time money list. And Davis was playing in before it got crazy. I mean, he was back around in the early 90s, late 80s when he came out on tour. Putnam is starting to become more of a fixture on leaderboards. Obviously winning he won twice on the web.com, got his lone win at the Barracuda Championship, an opposite field event, which, doesn't change anything. Some people may poo-poo it, but you still get a W. This guy, it seems like maybe it's taken him a little bit longer to find his way, But at the age of 29, he's hitting all cylinders are fighting or firing for this guy.
Let me ask you this, Jay. Have we reached the point where we can formally say that Bryson DeChambeau is just not a flash in the pan? I mean, he's won five times, another top 10 at Sony. I mean, he's starting to become Mr. Consistency.
Well, and they pointed it out on the broadcast, and you and Janice, our executive producer, know this so well. These are two totally different golf courses that you play, from the Plantation course to Wailea. I mean, you can't get much different. And DeChambeau's game seems to translate wherever he's at. And I think we're beyond the goofiness or the odd look of the flag being in, because virtually everybody, even though players aren't changing and going that route, most people, many instructors, many TV analysts are saying that's the way to go, to leave the flag in. So this guy that we always think is the contrarian, he may be right. And I noticed that he's in the top five odds-wise for all four major championships. If you look at the odds for the four major championships, the experts think that Bryson DeChambeau is going to get one in 2019. I still, you know, you're right. This is not a flash in the pan, but I still, he still confounds me sometimes, but you know what? It works for him. And the number one thing in this game, whether you're a tour pro or a beginner, is confidence and believing in your abilities. And this guy believes in himself, I think, more than anybody has since TW back in the day. Well, Bob and I still got a lot to talk about as the tour heads to the desert for the Desert Classic. The first one was back in 1960. We'll talk about that and a lot of other golf news when we return on The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, "Hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show," and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Kapalua Villas Maui was the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees. We have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Jay Jr. You find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. And the man with me is Bob Bupka, the voice of golf. You find him at Bob Bupka, V-O-G, on Twitter, and you'll be all set. We love hearing from our listeners, like Darren over the pond, always asking me about his bets. He does pretty well with his wagers. Well, now, Bob, it's time to take a look at the tour as the West Coast swing heads east as they go from Hawaii to the desert. Palm Springs, one of my favorite places in the world.
Yeah, it really is. And so many fond memories, for years being called the Bob Hope Desert Classic. Had the opportunity on many occasions to spend some time with Bob Hope. He truly loved the sport of golf. He was a sheer delight. And one of the real ironies in the world of professional golf, the Bob Hope Desert Classic, where Arnold Palmer got his first victory. I mean, pretty amazing stuff. And then he goes on to win, and his last victory on the PGA Tour, his 73rd of his career. I mean, 62 times he won on tour, and his last one comes at the Bob Hope Desert Classic. So Arnie always would say how much he loved playing in that Bob Hope Desert Classic. Bob Hope, obviously, no longer with us, but that event is gaining strength, as you alluded to. More and more good players are showing up. Phil Mickelson, Jay, the unofficial host, he's a two-time winner, making his 16th start there. So pretty good field, including the man from England, who's got a wealth of talent.
He sure does. He's going to play this week and next week, and that's Justin Rose. A couple of weeks ago, we talked to Sean Foley, his teacher, and I mean, Foley just loves what he sees from Justin Rose. You've also got John Rahm, Zach Johnson's playing, Johnny Vegas, who won it for his first tour win, Bob, in 2011. And I'm kind of watching for Billy Haas. It was a tough year last year after the accident and the incident where he was involved as a passenger in the car, and it was tough for him to fight back. This is a place where he won in 2015, so I hope maybe coming back to a place like that will be good for Bill.
Yeah, me too, and it's kind of ironic because I remember in 2015 being at the Hawaiian Open at Wailea, and Bill finished up for the week and had his head down a little bit, and I've known Bill a long time. Obviously good friends with his dad, Jay. I said, Bill, enough fooling around. I said, with your talent, why don't you just let it happen? Just go out there and play the type of golf that Bill Haas is capable of playing, and I guarantee you that'll be enough to get you in that winner's circle. Well, lo and behold, he goes out the following week and wins. And the next time he saw me, he said, hey, Bob, thanks for that little pep talk. It's exactly what I needed. Another guy out there that, I think has a wealth of talent. We got to meet him at the AT&T, Byron Nelson, Jay. Aaron Wise, real talent, kind of a sleeper. He's somebody that I think probably going to have a pretty good year here in 2019.
No, I think we're going to see him continue to be a riser and continue to play well. I'm going to give you a name this week to watch out for. I just have a feeling Brendan Steele's going to play well. Just throwing it out there for everybody. Keep an eye on Brendan Steele. You mentioned Aaron Wise with that tour victory last year. This tournament is played over a couple of courses. So, you're kind of always moving. It's always, and usually you got to go very low.
Well, you're right about that, Jay, especially if the wind doesn't blow. It becomes a birdie fest, a lot of fun for the players. There is other action taking place overseas. Davis Love He made the trip over to the Singapore Open. Main reason probably is there are four spots open to players participating in that Singapore Open to get into the Open Championship at Royal Port Rush in Northern Ireland, which is going to be absolutely fantastic in the month of July. So good luck to Davis Love.
Yeah, and Bob, you talked about Davis's good play at Waialae. His son, Drew, who's also trying to further his career, and of course, we see them every year at the Father-Son Championship. Drew got an invitation to play in Singapore, so it'll be a father-son battle over there. Early scores as they start before the tour, obviously, here in the United States. Garcia, the defending champion, opened with a 69. But, Bob, a lot of people, despite the events this week, are looking towards next week because of you-know-who.
Well, you're right about that, Jay Randolph Jr., the entry list for the upcoming Farmers Insurance Open, that is next week. And over the last few days, Tiger formally committed to a place that he's won seven times, including the 2008 United States Open at Torrey Pines. If he brings that form that he possessed down in Atlanta at the Tour Championship, certainly going to be able to make a serious run. Jason Day will come in as defending champion. Justin Rose, you mentioned that before, going to be playing. And Xander Schauffele also going to be playing. And he continues to impress, Jay.
Absolutely. What he did that final round at the Plantation course was phenomenal. And he has announced his presence. And you've got to think, playing in, you know, his backyard, if you will, is going to be huge for him. You throw in Rahm, who won this event in 2017, Tony Finau. Remember when Ricky Fowler was the next great player? Not that he's not, but he's moved to number 13 in the world. And guess who's number 18 in the world and missed the cut at Waialae? Jordan Spieth. I don't know, Bob. You know, again, I'm going to give him time because a lot's happened in his life. But when you look back since the British Open last year and you throw in the performance at the Ryder Cup, this is not the Jordan Spieth that we once knew. Now, again, he's gotten married. That's a life changer for anybody. And it's not like he's not playing. He went out there to Hawaii. And he'll be there in San Diego, but it's time maybe to start looking a little closer at Jordan Spieth. I mean, if I'd have told you 4 years ago that Jordan Spieth was going to be the 18th ranked player in the world, you'd have told me I was crazy.
Yeah, and especially if you followed that up with no victories in 2018. I think the most alarming news concerning Jordan Spieth is the fact that Hank Haney said that in his opinion, and it's a respected opinion, that Jordan Spieth is now suffering from the yips. I mean, good golly, if there's one thing you don't want, you don't want 22 when you're playing blackjack, you don't want yips when you're putting.
No.
I can guarantee you that.
I'm not doubting him, but as you know, here on the show, I've tried to point out that I was seeing this downtrend. And, you know, it's scaring me a little bit because, you know, this is a guy that I thought was going to be one of the, not that he's not, again, I'm not saying he's not an elite player, but he's going to have to turn this around. And I just wonder when it's going to happen.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult, and you've covered this sport long enough, you know, to recognize when that bright spotlight is constantly on you and you kind of get addicted to it and you play up to it and, you know, you're the expected favorite and all of that. And then all of a sudden you're not in the spotlight, I should say. And those putts that used to go in and as a matter of fact, and now, you know, it doesn't take much in golf. When once Lippens switch to lip outs, it's a very tough and cruel sport.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, "Hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show," and you'll be connected. We'll have more golf talk for you right after this short break.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Jay Jr. You find me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. And the man with me is Bob Bupka, the voice of golf. You find him at Bob Bupka, V-O-G, on Twitter, and you'll be all set. We love hearing from our listeners. Bob, I was very excited to hear that the Houston Open is coming back to life. I know that's an area near and dear to you and Janice. It's going to be hosted and run by the Astros Golf Foundation. Houston Astros owner Jim Crane, Bob, you may not know this, he was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, went to Lutheran North High School here in St. Louis, and he is a huge, huge golf guy. He's taken over the Floridian down in South Florida, which Wayne Huizenga created. I was lucky enough to get to play the Floridian back in the day with Jay Sr. when he was doing the Marlins games. This guy, Jim Crane, is a huge booster for golf. And we all know how strong the Houston Golf Association has been. Now, granted, it's going to be run by the Astros Golf Foundation, but this is good for the area because Houston is, one of the great golf communities in the country.
No, you're right about that, Jay. I mean, it's the fourth largest city in America. Not to have a PGA Tour stop would be, somewhat cruel. Of course, they have brought in Tom Doak, who's going to be doing work on Memorial Park. It's going to be played this year at the Golf Club of Houston. Then in 2020, it goes down to Memorial Park, where our executive producer had a golden opportunity to win the city championships, playing in the semifinals, just about had the match in the bag, playing against Robin Burke, who is married to Jackie Burke, won a 17th hole, match is all square, but she's got about a 30-footer, and I'm caddying, and I said, Janice, here's what we do here. Let's just lag this thing down. We'll take our chances on 18. Boom. 12 feet past the hole. I said, Janice, what are you doing? She said, I didn't want to lag. I wanted to make it. Yeah, 3-putt, we lose. No city title.
Well, Robin Burke, that's just to get to play Robin Burke, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, well, I got to give full disclosure. She did twice win the city championship here in Houston. So pretty good marks on her resume. That's for sure. All right, we only have a little time left. Why don't we talk a little bit? We've talked before. We'll talk more on future shows as these situations evolve about the new rules. It looks like, Jay, my initial observation, and I'd be keen to get yours, it seems like leaving that flag stick in seems to be a benefit. And I think we're going to be seeing more and more people doing that. Do you find that to be the case?
I do. And I mentioned earlier, I'm a little surprised that it hasn't let out a little bit more on the PGA Tour. I mean, it was this kind of thing, oh, Bryson DeChambeau is going to leave the flag in. And then they started getting the mathematicians around and thinking about that. And then when you hear people like, Gary Koch and Brandel Chambly and Mark Rolfing and others say, yeah, it's the way to go. I think at some point, and I think when people start getting to their area golf clubs this spring in places where they haven't played, they're certainly going to give it a try. I don't know how I'm ever going to not say hazard. This whole penalty area or whatever it's called, it's going to take time. We saw, Dustin Johnson with the lack of identifying his ball in the hazard, which is now a situation. I still don't know whether you can ground your club in a it's just going to depend on what hazard it is. I mean, we're going to have to get somebody on from the USGA maybe at some point. But I think, again, they did something, and they did a number of things, whereas they usually have just kind of stood pat. And I salute the RNA and the USGA for at least trying this and trying to make it a little easier for the people playing the game. I still think there are a lot of people that just go out and play golf. They just hit the ball. They're not playing. They're not worried about rules. But then at the highest level, we do. And what I'm really looking forward to, or maybe not looking forward to, but maybe hearing some horror stories, and you talked about Janice playing amateur golf earlier. At the highest level of amateur golf, you don't have the galleries that you have at a PGA Tour event. You just don't at the North and South Amateur. You don't have those type of galleries. So when they take the looking for a golf ball from 5 minutes to three, yeah, I can understand that at the Memorial where you got 25,000 people and you got, 1,000 of them holding up a sign and looking for golf balls. But at the state amateur in Nebraska, you're not going to have those people. It's going to be a different situation. 2 minutes is a long time when you've got to look for a golf ball. Now they've taken that away where you now have 3 minutes to look for it rather than five.
Well, just trying to speed up play. I'm fully supportive of the spike marks. I'm glad to see that. Somewhat confused about the dropping thing. I can understand if they put the rule in, you could drop it anywhere from shoulder height to knee high. That'd be acceptable with me, saying that it must be from the knee. And if you drop it from your shoulder and play the shot, that's a penalty. So that's a little bit of a gray area. But I'm with you. We got to applaud the USGA and the RNA. They're making an attempt to make the game easier. When you make it easier, it's more fun to play. And when it's more fun to play, more people are going to play this sport. We have been blessed in our lives to having been introduced to it at a very early age, and really the only true sport of a lifetime. And anything we can do to promote it, we love doing it right here on the Grill Room.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.